Like, yeah. No one would be terribly surprised if Andy Farrell picked Robbie Henshaw. Like, oh, he's shit. No, get him out of the team.
That's not what
the commenters are saying.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on the Sunday game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Welcome back. So the aligned football calendar is coming into focus here in Ireland, where a fully aligned pathway is due to be in place by 2028. But under 5s up to under 12s are due to move to a new registration period from January next year. So this is coming right down the tracks pretty soon. I'm delighted to say that Grassroots Director with the FAI, Ger McDermott, is here with us in studio. Ger, how are you doing?
All good. Thanks, Owen. Pleasure to be here.
Everything that I've said there, full steam ahead. Any turbulence that's going to change the date of next January at all?
Yeah, no, in terms of the date, no. We're actively engaged with each of the leagues now, so the conversation predominantly with the children's leagues at the moment is just around having that aligned period, as I said, for registering at the start of the year, and then what the 12 months of maximised football activity looks like. So in terms of turbulence, lots of feedback around, you know, some local concerns, how we maintain participation, a lot of discussion, which I actually think is quite healthy in terms of competition formats. So if we take a break or we don't play our standard 11 aside in the summer months, will players come back? What will that look like? So lots of debate around that, but all healthy debate. Still going ahead.
And we'll get to some of that feedback in a moment, but in terms of your experience of going around the country, displaying what an aligned calendar would do for Irish football, has the tone out there softened from your perspective?
Softened? In parts on, yes. What I would say is I'd probably go back to the first phase, so when we set out to actually design the plan or consult before the design phase of the plan, we just wanted to get people's broad feedback on the current state of play, what they wanted from the association, where they felt Irish football needed to go. And I think the three most consistent pieces of feedback were the game is quite fragmented. There's different organisations pulling in different directions. There's no alignment. So we do have different seasons, different registration periods. The game isn't really aligned. And the leadership piece came across very strongly. So the need for leadership from the FAI. So we then went into the second phase, which started to look at specific actions we could take based on the feedback. We outlined 11 actions to the game. We had some more debate on them. And we always knew, there's no surprise in that, the aligned calendar would probably get the most attention. Would definitely get the most debate, but there's two key principles for us behind it. One, particularly for the children, being can we provide more football more often and with more variety across a 12-month calendar? And for adults then, the progression and pathway opportunities for players, clubs, match officials didn't exist and don't currently exist. So to have an Irish football pyramid, and we're one of very few nations with our population size in terms of playing population who doesn't have a pyramid, the creation of a pyramid was key, and the game doesn't need to be aligned to have that pyramid.
So when we talk about underage footballers, your modus operandi here is more football for children. That is basically your end goal here, or is there another North Star that you've
no,
got?
No, it is. Whilst it may sound simplistic, absolutely. So people talked about participation, and participation rates is sparking quite a bit of debate. So we've about 250,000 players overall registered to play the game. There's probably another 100,000 out there playing informally. So for us, that's a key metric, and we're performing very well. There's lots of players playing the game and lots of players registered to play the game. When we look deeper, in different parts of the country, a child in one part of the country could grow up and at a certain age, maybe 8, 9, 10 years of age, have opportunities to play formally for 20, 21, 22 weeks of the year. A child in another part of the country might play for 35 weeks of the year. So straight away, you're at a disadvantage in terms of your opportunities to play. So simplistically, yes, we want to provide more opportunities for children to play as much football as they want to play. So if they want to play, there's a game for them.
And just to be clear then, with the aligned calendar and that registration period in January, that would mean that the traditional season that a lot of people around the country will have grown up with and are still playing from September to May, that would no longer be possible.
Yeah, so we'd have the aligned registration period, as you say, and the season, as we currently call it, would start from any time after January and would end realistically November, November or December. What's really important and what we're trying to maybe move away from is we've historically organised children's football with an adult lens. And what I mean by that is your season, where you have a couple of cup competitions, a league competition that's played out over 25, 30 plus weeks. Actually, for the youngest kids, if we're to provide variety and lots of opportunities to play different forms of football, that competition structure as it's historically been organised, we come away from that and we say, well, OK, can we block the year into three or four parts and give ourselves some variety in the formats, more offerings for people who want to play? Then that sort of raises the question, and people have raised this in terms of their feedback. Well, we don't feel we could play in summer. For us, for the children's game, if a 9-a-side or an 11-a-side format with your team as we normally think football is organised, if that's not doable during, let's say, June, July, August, due to a multitude of reasons, the feedback we're getting is, well, we might have four or five players away. That's okay. Our challenge and the question I would have to everybody involved in the game is, well, if there are five or six players from any given squad, club or team at home during the summer who want to play, what type of football can we give them? If that's five-a-side, if that's mini blitzes, mini World Cups, some of that stuff happens already. Let's do more of it.
The clubs and the leagues are coming back to that challenge and saying, we don't know. We don't have that answer.
Yeah.
So if you're asking the question and they're looking for an answer back of what do we do, what are you saying to them?
Yeah, so what we're saying is, starting point, there's the aligned registration period. Blank calendar in front of us. So January through to December. Starting point would be for leagues currently. So some leagues would say, we play football in these months presently and we want to continue to do that. Shade in the months when you play. Then let's have a conversation about what we can do together in the other period. So in an ideal world, a league who says, we can't do our current formats in July or August, it won't work. That's fine. Next part of the conversation would be, can we run little tournaments? Can we run blitzes? Does your league want to be part of that? Now the league may say, no. We don't organise football at that time. We'll be away. That's okay. Our next protocol will be to look at what the club infrastructure looks like. Some of the clubs may already organise their own mini tournaments or blitzes, but our question then to the clubs would be, can we play a hand with you in organising blitzes, tournaments, camps, or anything that you feel is an appropriate form of football for your locality?
And are the FAI willing to bypass the leagues and go directly to the clubs to implement that?
We're not there, because I think it's really important. The leagues play an absolutely critical role in Irish grassroots football. There's thousands of fixtures that happen, most weekends, organised by volunteers. So the best way to design this in the right way for the players is to work with the leagues and to work with the clubs collaboratively. The challenge, of course, is that when we ask for more football more often with more variety, or in different formats of the game, or for people to change or come on a journey. At an administrative level and a logistical level, any change will bring challenges. The core question that we're asking is, well, can we firstly look at what's best for the player? So do we want to continue to have a system where in certain places, a player may only have very limited opportunities to play in comparison to another kid at the same age in a different part of the country? Do we agree that we need to maximise that player's opportunities? And if the answer is yes, then let's work out the best possible way to do it together.
And do you have evidence that a change to this aligned calendar will result in more playing opportunities for players?
Yeah, so leagues who have made the switch have seen positive results in terms of growth of the game, increase in players. Clare, Mayo would be two examples. So leagues who have done this have reported to us that this works. Yes, there's teething issues maybe at the start, but they've reported positive. The feedback from other leagues who haven't done it is, we can't necessarily assume that will work for us. Hence why the phase we're in now is, let's sit down with the blank calendar and let's start to fill in what you think will and continue the conversation from there.
How do you know that those two leagues have been successful because of summer football?
They previously played a winter season.
And this was the thing that launched their success over the last number of years.
They would say yes, that they feel it's...
Would that be replicated across other leagues though? That if you go back and, I grew up playing winter football in Mayo and I was 16, we moved to summer football. Mm-hmm. I suspect that around Ireland, every league has had a growth in players over the last 25, 30 years because the game has grown, the number of clubs has grown, the facilities have sure. generally got better. They're not there. And I suspect if you look at the numbers who are playing even here in Dublin in the DDSL, they're way beyond what they were 20, 25 years ago, yeah. even with the traditional calendar.
Yeah, yeah. So per capita in terms of population and the overall growth that we've seen, yes. When we then look at the opportunities to play, so one of the key metrics for those leagues would be there's more opportunity to play games and there can be opportunities for more flexibility within their calendar by playing in the months that they now play in. So in Mayo's experience, where I think initially they would have avoided the summer months, there was a call from the clubs after a couple of years of it to actually organise football during the summer. Yes, give us a break, give some clubs flexibility in terms of when they might take their break. Now, that was just their experience, obviously, Nathan, but then again, I would bring it back to how we challenge ourselves and how we measure ourselves on participation. So for a child at 5-6 years of age who enters the game, and like most kids, want to emulate the superstars that they see on TV and want to play lots of football, providing as many opportunities for those kids to play football is absolutely at the heart of this. So when people talk about the participation impact of this, what we see and what we would foresee and what we want to go after is more opportunities for kids who want to play, because at certain parts of the year, we don't feel it's right for us all to just say, let's not play football because it's difficult to organise it that way.
It does feel that when this initially came up as an idea, there was a lot of blowback. And what I was interested in over the last little while is, to what extent are you winning the argument, so to speak? And when you look at something like the Grassroots Amateur Football Clubs of Ireland coming together, representing 600 clubs from 17 different counties, and they're out there calling your actions irresponsible, if not reckless, it's hard to see that you have won the argument. Even if you're 100% in the right, that doesn't speak to me that this has been a great example of persuasion on the part of the FAI.
Yeah, I understand. And I understand where you're coming from. There's a lot of emotion in some of the language that's used. I can absolutely appreciate it in terms of clubs who might be worried about participation rates. What I would say is some of what's been said has had its foundation in you're forcing us to play at certain times of the year.
What would you say to that?
Well, we're not.
But you are forcing them to change from their current calendar.
The aligned registration period is what we're asking. Yes.
But you're not going to be able to continue to play, as I said, between September and May. You're going to have to come up with something else.
When you start and when you finish, if you're currently a winter league, absolutely will change. And really importantly on that point as well, in terms of the forcing or the argument that's been made, we brought the whole plan to board as an 11 action plan, first 3 years of what will be 12 in terms of the lifespan of the plan. And the board felt that this would be, given the change that this would bring about, which you've just described in terms of one aligned registration period and a start and finish date, that would change for roughly 2/3 of the leagues, the board felt that should be brought to the General Assembly. So it was. So the board decided, yes, we approve all of the plan. We do want to bring one action, which is the aligned calendar, to our membership. It was brought to membership. I know that's had feedback, but really importantly, in terms of what we're planning to do and the implementation of 2026, it was democratically voted on.
The grassroots part of it would obviously question how democratic that was, in that a lot of those people who were voting, who all turned up to vote that day, maybe their main interest isn't grassroots football. So actually, that the grassroots vote would have gone the other way, but because it was the greater vote of Irish football, League of Ireland, various different strands, they went with what the FAI wanted. But the grassroots part, the vote would have been very different.
So it was the three chambers, because people may not, obviously people wouldn't necessarily study what our General Assembly looks like, but the three chambers, you have the professional game, the League of Ireland game, our youth and amateur chamber, which would be effectively football for 17, 18-year-old players and older, so the amateur adult game. And then the national body, so your schools, your SFEI, the children's game, football for all, etc. So I would go back to the feedback across the first phase of the consultation and the need for this to be a whole game plan. So yes, there are certain sections of the game, who may feel very strongly about certain things. When I say it was voted democratically, I understand the feedback and I understand the sense in grassroots. We are trying to bring the different parts of the game together. We didn't expect that to be easy, but if I go back to the feedback we heard in phase one, quite strongly I would say the game is not aligned, entities are pulling in different directions, and we expect a leadership from the FAI that attempts to bring the different parts together.
The game is not aligned. That's interesting, that was your feedback, because you look, as I said, how strong the resistance has been, and you're saying that that was a very strong message that you were getting, that the calendar is not aligned. So the calendar being aligned does not equal summer football. That's what I take away from those two things. They are not the same thing. Did you explore other avenues of aligning football in this country without what they would say are forcing their hand to play summer football?
Yeah, well, we did. And again, I would say we listened, in that we're not asking or forcing people to play summer football. For children, we're definitely saying, and for anyone who wants to play, we're definitely saying, if you can't organise your league format in certain periods, one being the summer, that's okay. Mm. But we feel it's incumbent on us to provide something else. Again, obviously, there will be challenges to that in terms of how long is the break. But I go back to learnings that we've taken from other leagues who've done this. There is an appetite for people to play, and we need to lean in on the fact that there are certain parts of the year where we have longer daylight hours. You can play in evenings without floodlights, and the two weekend days are an option to you. So feedback from those leagues who've done it is, look, there's an opportunity. Yes, there are other sports playing at the same time, but there's an opportunity to play when it suits you to play.
But they would argue they're at the coalface, and you're right. And I think an awful lot of people would love to be out playing some form of football in July and August on a Tuesday evening, on a Thursday evening. But every club has two or three players on holidays for every week of the summer. Different people go on holidays at different times. How do you actually organise that? So when you're on the coalface and you're sitting down as a fixture secretary trying to organise this, and you've no idea if a club has 5 players on holidays, 10 players on holidays, if they even want to play during the summer, even if you're bringing that down to a 5-a-side blitz, who actually rolls that out? Because the feedback we're getting is the FAI are saying, this needs to happen, off you go and do it. But the next bit of how they do it isn't been explained.
Yeah, so we're definitely not saying off you go and do it. That's a really important point to clarify. The needs to happen piece is, can we have an aligned registration period? And then as a next step in terms of how we do it together, can you start by filling in the times of the year when you feel you can organise what you currently organise? Next question is,
how many leagues have done that? Have given you that first initial piece?
Yeah, we're sitting down with all leagues. So with the full league picture, which would include all of our grassroots leagues, and I know I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago in a briefing, there's meetings happening this week, so it's a live exercise. We would have had about 1/3 of the leagues already in the calendar, another 1/3 or so who are actively designing that calendar, and about 1/3 who are yet to meet, and absolutely in the yet to meet category would be some who are saying, we're not sure about this, we need you to show us more, but we need to have that conversation to do that.
So could a schoolboy league play in the exact same weekends that they currently do in this aligned calendar and just take a massive break in the middle and not change anything about the weekends that they actually play?
Yes. The piece that we would like to look at, particularly for, you mentioned it, where there's a challenge, and the challenge is to fulfill a fixture in a certain competition format, I have 3 players on holiday at any given week. The question that I would ask again is, what's the right thing for us to do? Us being the collective, by the way. The FAI, leagues, clubs, anyone who wants to play a proactive role, my question would be, should we stop all activity? Or for the 6, 7 or 8 kids who aren't on holidays, should we provide something for them?
Like, should it supplement the meat and drink of their season, essentially? Yeah. I absolutely understand that point. What will be said in response to that is that it's completely impractical to have a massive break in the middle of the season for, say, your main 11-a-side league, because if you're bottom of the table and you come back after your summer break where you're playing blitzes, 5-a-side, whatever the case may be, all interest will go out, participation will struggle as a result of that.
So for adult players and for the Irish football pyramid, so again, in terms of progression and pathways, when we look at the adult amateur game, we've had players who've been on a certain trajectory and maybe reach League of Ireland underage and don't necessarily make senior level. There's lots of players out there who may not play professional or semi-professional or League of Ireland football. They don't necessarily, locally to them, have the right level of football to come back into. So where it's local grassroots football, the creation of a pyramid has the potential to retain far more players, but also give them a level of football that's appropriate to them. So if you play it out as an example of a male or female player who maybe enters the League of Ireland pathway, plays underage League of Ireland football, doesn't go into senior football, that actually there's a tier two, for the female game, a tier three, and in time a tier four, so that they can slot back in at the right level. Because, and again, feedback we had, but we always knew ourselves, is that there were cliff edges rather than soft landings for a player who gets to a certain level, doesn't quite reach where they thought they might, and then doesn't have an opportunity to come back in at a level that really suits their ability. So the creation of the pyramid is key, and we do need alignment to have a functioning pyramid. When we talk about season for children, we need to look at what the optimum way to organise football for their enjoyment would be. So kids of a certain age having a variety of competitions, not necessarily a 30-plus week-long season, with just one cup to play for the league, a couple of maybe other cups to play for, there's potentially a better way there. That brings, as I said, logistical challenges. Some leagues will say, well, it might cost a bit more to run that. We want to have that discussion. Proactively, we want to look at what are the league challenges, can we overcome them? Because
so what's your answer? Say, for example, the DDSL were to raise that question and they have 50,000 registered kids and we're talking about adding more levels, more opportunities, and the expense that comes with that is going to be quite sizable.
Yeah.
How do you answer that question when they ask it?
Cost it out with us.
But at the moment, they're not sitting with you.
They are sitting with us, to be fair.
Okay.
And it is ongoing. And I would say as well, in terms of the DDSL, the flexibility, things like regrading for the younger ages, there's quite a bit of this already been done. And it is a part of the country where there is a lot of football being organised. At certain age cohorts, like the older teenage years, that's where your point about coming back after a long break, we will need to look at that. And they have raised that as a challenge. What I would say again on that is, even for teenage players, the standard formats in how we've always run football, we've seen some very high level competition formats change in the professional game as well. It's a good conversation to have. And if we feel, yes, there are challenges, but ultimately there's maybe a better way to organise it to maximise participation and also give players more opportunities to develop and play, it's worth doing.
We've been ringing around. Torna Outside has been calling a few people from various clubs around the country just to try and get their feedback. A couple of things that have come to my mind that I want to put to you as well, like Jamie Farrell, who is the chairman of Bunclody AFC. He says the FAI have failed grassroots clubs here. They have pushed everything towards aligning a calendar to suit League of Ireland clubs. Why not do it the other way? Why not change League of Ireland clubs to match the grassroots, considering that's where the majority of players are? The FAI are trying to suit the 1% here and not looking at the bigger picture, not carrying out a risk assessment, was their number one failure.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things on that. This is not to suit League of Ireland, and I understand that that's the narrative out there for some. Really importantly, and I've talked about it already, one of the core principles for us is, can we provide more opportunities for kids to play? And for players of all ages to play, ultimately. And can we have clear progression and pathways? On the clear progression and pathways piece, valid question. Bring another part of the game back and align the season a different way. The reality is that when the League of Ireland moved 20 plus years ago, some of the same concerns existed before it happened. The feedback after it happening and once it settled in is that the experience, the playing experience, the spectator experience, the environment in which the players were playing was better. So they like it. So their experience is that this worked. I've mentioned it. The experience of the grassroots leagues who have moved, some as many as 20 plus years ago as well, their experience has been similar in that this has worked for us. It's a different way of doing things, but it has been better. In terms of the grassroots and the point about failing the grassroots, again, I go back to it, it's really important to say, in different parts of the country, there are kids who aren't getting enough opportunities to play. And
so
by virtue of where you're born...
a slightly different thing, Ger. So I remember at the presentation around the Pathways plan over a year ago, Mark Canham outlining this. So it comes to a head, say, when an under-15 squad is announced and everyone's wondering why it's full of Shamrock Rovers and St. Patrick's Athletic players. And one of the things that put forward, well, actually, all those players have come through the GDSL, are playing league football at under-7, under-8 level. They're playing 20 games a year from a very young age. And in large parts of the countries, that's not the case. But does moving to an aligned calendar suddenly mean that all of those leagues that aren't giving those opportunities to 7, 8, 9-year-olds are suddenly going to provide a lot more football for that age group?
Working with us, and we'll have to play a role in it too, but by working with us, we absolutely feel that the shift will give far more opportunities to play more football in time. Absolutely.
And is that solely weather-related?
No, it's not just weather-related.
Okay,
no,
so why aren't they doing it now? Why couldn't that work have happened already with those leagues to say, listen, ye are falling far behind Cork, Dublin, certain leagues around the country and what you're providing for your young players? How come that hasn't happened before?
I think it'll happen concurrently with this. It's part of a bigger picture in terms of the plan and what we'll provide and the education and development piece that will come with that league mark in identifying where leagues are currently at in terms of the opportunities that they're giving, you know, kids and teams and adults in their locality to play. We'll build that all in and do it concurrently as part of, as I said, an 11 action plan where one of the actions is getting a lot of the attention.
Just on that part of it then, so almost all of the league representatives that we've spoken to over the past couple of days, they are broadly in support of the overall player pathways plan and they believe there's lots to work on with the plan, but they just want to maintain the ability to make the decision on when their league season takes place and retain the status quo around that. Considering how vast the player pathway plan is, and it's a 12-year plan across almost every strand of the game, was it a mistake going after the aligned calendar first? Because it does feel like the whole project is getting bogged down in that and completely overshadowing every other part of it. And that actually a lot of the things that are within the aligned calendar, such as say futsal and bits that grab the headline, like they're simply not possible because the facilities plan hasn't come to full fruition yet either. So like this is all anyone's talking about when there's a grand plan there, or does it all rely on the aligned calendar going through?
It doesn't all rely on it. In terms of it being a mistake, I would say no, absolutely not. And in terms of it getting all of the attention, I would say that's not a surprise. So we didn't go into this expecting much different to very strong feedback, certain leagues not necessarily wanting to move. But for the reasons I've outlined in terms of more opportunities to actually provide football and the clear pathways and progression for everybody in the game that don't currently exist, it is worth doing. Yes, there could be an argument for, you know, wait, do it over a longer period of time. What I would say to that is there's currently 12, 13, 14-year-old kids in the country who would have a better experience from an Irish football pyramid being implemented as quickly as possible, realistically, and the alignment that that needs to bring. So, yes.
Do you mean elite players or all players?
No, all players. Because, and again, I think, and I understand that the piece that was mentioned from Jamie about, you know, grassroots and grassroots role in this, really, really importantly, this is not an either or. A functioning ecosystem for football in any given country that works really well for players of all levels, has appropriate opportunities for you to play and reach your full potential. So it's not grassroots over here, pure participation. League of Ireland over here, purely elite. There are lots of players in between who might win a Leinster Senior Cup, a Leinster Junior Cup. We want those players who maybe reach a certain level and drop out of the game because if they're in a different part of the country outside Munster or Leinster, they don't necessarily have intermediate football as it currently is. We want more players to have that opportunity. The pyramid will provide that. And there's an obligation on us, I feel, to not let those players down and that we do it as quickly as we feel it can realistically be implemented because that's our obligation to those particular players. And there's lots of clubs out there who aren't League of Ireland, won't necessarily be League of Ireland or won't necessarily have the ambition or want to ever be a professional club or play League of Ireland, but being able to climb an Irish pyramid to the top and reach a level that they feel is appropriate to them doesn't currently exist, and it's incumbent on us to do that and put that in place as quickly as we can.
There's a couple of other bits and pieces, like when we've been chatting about this in the past, the elephant in the room has always been Gaelic games during the summertime. And when you listen to people in rural clubs around Ireland, that does hit home in an extra meaningful way, because I was kind of on the fence about that. Like, I completely buy the idea about better conditions and having longer daylight hours and all that. But then you hear the other side of the argument and you think about coaches being parents that are coaching both teams, referees being referees in Gaelic games as well as soccer. Do you not think you're entering the lines then here in a certain regard? Like, you look around Europe and we are unique in that we are taking on a bigger sport, a more participated sport, in a way that soccer in other countries around Europe, with the exception of maybe the Baltic states, don't actually have to do.
And I should point out as well that other sports, other team sports, don't necessarily have the same calendar in every county either. So if you look at Go games, for example, so Go games and the DDSL would run side by side. So Go games is up to sort of under 11 age, where they would run from September through till May, mm-hmm. and they're all finishing up around about now. Whereas actually, in other parts of the country, Go games are just starting now and will run all the way through from sort of April through till September, whereas football in those counties may run still from September through till May. So you'll go from one sport to the other. And again, that's sort of going back to what you're asking and what I was asking. It's so complicated. It's so different in every single county as to what times they play certain sports, what the pull on is certain players is, that how you somehow bring all of that together and force all of these leagues to jump on board with it when they're facing something different in Cork from Dublin and Carlow, Kilkenny, Mayo.
And the sports that they play, like rugby might be bigger in Limerick than basketball is, and that's their winter sport of choice, whereas somewhere else basketball might be the winter sport of choice and maybe that runs at a different time of the year. How big a factor were the other sports in your thinking?
A big factor in our thinking. The first thing I would say is that there are lots of other nations who have lots of other sports as options. I was going to say competing sports. Some people use that language. I'd say
do any of them have any? I'm asking this not knowing, because we always sort of bring up the example of a Croatia, similar sized country.
Well, football is still their number one country.
They create, their sport. But is there any other country that has a rival like Gaelic games?
There'd be countries that would have certain pastimes, but I think where the uniqueness comes from, obviously, the national games and the fabric of society that GAA is here and always has been. There are also other countries where football absolutely dominates. Football is the predominant sport. And for developing players, from an athletic development point of view, they have to try and create false multi-sport environments to develop more rounded athletes. We're really lucky. We're blessed that we are pretty much a multi-sport nation and not just the three big field sports. Kids and adults can play lots of different sports. For kids who are developing, that's a real positive thing. And I appreciate, it's a good point you make about rugby in Limerick. There are different parts of the country where GAA or other sports have different calendars that last for different lengths of time, and there's different options for lots of people who want to play. But very importantly, from our perspective, we do also need to take a lens to this from a longer term perspective to say, for those kids who want to grow up and play as much football as they can, how can we provide it for them? And that is really, really important. The challenge, obviously, and a healthy challenge that we want to be able to overcome is, locally, how sports can coexist is really, really important. But as every sport looks to provide as much opportunities for its participants to play, we absolutely have an obligation to kids and people who want to play our sport to do the same and say, look, how can we maximise the opportunities? How can we maximise player development, participation opportunities? Because there are lots of people out there who want to play lots of football. From a long-term perspective, we need to take a look at each league, each county, each location. And that's why we're starting with the blank calendar. Yes, we want an aligned registration period. I've explained what that brings in terms of the pyramid and the player journey. But that's why the starting point is leagues begin by filling in when they feel they can play.
If we can, about that though, Ger, like, doesn't come across as something that's going to start next January. Like, and the intention is that this will start for the youngest age groups next January.
Yeah, up to under 12s. Yeah, and I think that age cohort as well. We don't.
If you're still asking the leagues to fill out the blank canvas, How do you turn that around, considering next league in most of these counties will be starting in September? How do you turn that around in you know, a matter of months.
Yeah, we sit down, we talk, but we have been, importantly. So I know there is noise on this, but where there is noise, there is also pockets where leagues are sitting down with us and saying, there's what we feel it should look like. And that's very much in train, progressing really well. And there are some that, yes, Nathan, we still have to work out exactly. For the younger kids as well, I would just say up to under 12, it wouldn't look like a long season or anything like the adult season looks like. So we can be pretty creative, very flexible at the younger age groups by working collaboratively with the leagues.
There, as you say, is plenty of support from certain pockets of the country, obviously the opposite from other pockets and other organisations. But as an overall organisation, the SFAI are probably an important body to have on your side in this. How is that dispute going to work itself out? I mean, funding being removed for Kennedy Cup, Gaynor Cup, feels like it's reached a point now where this is a pretty seismic division, and I'm not sure how this thing actually comes off without the support of a body like the SFAI.
Yeah, on that, the funding that's linked to the two tournaments will work directly with the leagues. The budget is there. We'll work with the leagues. We want to make sure that the leagues have access to that funding. So we'll go through that. We're meeting the leagues. Well, we've invited leagues to a meeting next week on that very topic. And in terms of the SFAI, we want a proactive, positive, collaborative relationship with the SFAI. And we absolutely feel, and you've referenced it, in terms of the children's leagues and their affiliation to the SFAI, working collaboratively with the SFAI will help us to do this in a smooth fashion. And the best way to overcome some of the challenges that the leagues have would be to have a collaborative relationship with the SFAI. We want that.
It's just been a debate for so long at this point, and it feels like heels are being dug deeper now than at any point in the past.
I think
the people who are against it.
Post-December, yes. But again, I would expect that because that was the point at which it was endorsed. So you would expect that because that vote brings an element of what's been voted on now we're implementing. So, yeah, the resistance and the challenge and the types of conversations that we're having with some is part and parcel of change.
But and then you also have the grassroots amateur organisation that was set up as well, and I'm not sure, I wasn't in the room, but does that become a significant factor when you're in the Oireachtas last week and chatting to politicians? Because they'd obviously written to the politicians, I think, before your appearance.
Yeah, of course. That session gave a good opportunity for us to clarify what our ask is. That's positive. I would say as well, it was in the being in there and having what I feel. And I know there's been some strong language used. People feel very strongly about it. I absolutely respect that. What I would also say is I think it's a very healthy debate to be actively talking about what's best for players and for player development and for participation rates for the future of our game. Because as I said, the alternative of not addressing things like kids only having an opportunity to play for maybe one third or a quarter of the year, I don't want us not to talk about that. We don't want to just leave that alone. And any debate that has the player at the heart of it and what's best for any player that wants to play our game is a really good debate to have. That's not to say the resistance, the arguments, the challenges aren't strong in certain pockets. They are, but let's have the conversation. And we do believe that what we're attempting to do with this has the long-term betterment of the game and of the player at the heart of it. So it's worth having the debate.
Yeah, and I absolutely don't doubt your intention one bit. What I wonder, what if there are a couple of renegade leagues this September who register their players? You obviously, I don't know, reject the paperwork or whatever it is because January is the new registration period and the heels are dug into the point where they just say no.
Yeah, so with that, really importantly on that own, I've mentioned the democratic process. So we've our four provincial associations to whom the youth and amateur adult leagues would affiliate, with the SFAI to whom the children's leagues affiliate. We go into rooms with those people, those stakeholders, those administrators, and we have the conversation and we have the debate. And if and when it gets to a point where a league takes that position, we work with the affiliate and we sit down in a room and we discuss things with that league. Appreciate the question, but obviously this type of forum wouldn't be where we would make decisions, take decisions or communicate on that. We would say, come into a room, talk about the challenges, let's discuss this and let's resolve it.
And did that happen around the funding for the Kennedy Cup and the Gaynor Cup? So just for anyone who's not aware, so the Kennedy Cup and Gaynor Cup under 14, National League competition, so many of our greatest players have come through it and played in these competitions through the years. The simplistic understanding will be that the FAI have taken away their funding for leagues to participate, to help with the cost of that, unless they come back with that blank canvas filled out around the aligned calendar.
So to answer the first part very directly, did that dialogue and discussion happen? Yes. In short, yes. So I would engage with the SFEI, have meetings, verbal conversations to make sure everybody knows where everything's at. The process around grant aid, so it wouldn't be just to SFEI, we'd give grants to provincial bodies, our Football for All affiliates, so some of the affiliates that would put our cerebral palsy team on the pitch, power chair teams on the pitch, they would go through the grant process. The grant process would always be scored in part on the basis of alignment with strategy. So post-December and the aligned calendar being endorsed, that became a very important part of our strategy that we expect our affiliates to work with us on. So I would have had those conversations, and as I said, we'll now have conversations and have an opportunity for the leagues, because the budget is there, the funding hasn't been taken away. The leagues can engage with us directly on it, and the SFEI can play a part in that too.
And several leagues are obviously saying that they're not going to partake in this. And you mentioned right at the start, one of the big parts of the feedback you got was the FAI showing leadership. Is that what you believe this is? That some players may miss out on big opportunities because their leagues are making decisions that are going to cost them the funding?
We don't want players not to play in the tournament. And I think ultimately we all want the same thing. We want opportunities for players to play at the level they want. I've repeatedly said that. So part of that for these kids at the moment is Kennedy and Gaynor Cup. But again, I'd engage directly on the SFEI if, which I don't believe it is at the moment, but if it's at a point where leagues aren't intending on participating, my understanding is that they are, and it's important that we continue to make the funding available to them.
And that then automatically will mean they have taken that first step and they have come back to you and engaged with the aligned calendar?
As part of it, and we'll discuss that with the leagues next week.
And that then obviously is a shot across the bows that come next January, if that aligned registration period isn't in place, that there may be funding consequences for the leagues that don't take part.
I think importantly, again, to kind of relate to your earlier question as well, we'll have that conversation directly with leagues. So as part of having these meetings in terms of designing the calendar, throws up feedback for leagues who maybe don't want to engage with that, we still want to sit down and have the discussion. And it's important that we have that with the SFEI and with those leagues directly.
Like I understand where you're coming from, and you have to use that sort of language. But the feedback that we're getting from any of the leagues we've spoken to is that they're just not going to do this. So this is coming to a head.
Yeah. No, I understand. As I said, I would go back to the point that, and I know it's been challenged, it was democratically decided upon. Once that happens, it's incumbent on us to take the next steps. Mm. The next steps for lots of leagues has been design the calendar. For the leagues who haven't designed the calendar, we still want to talk.
What about the leagues who are coming back then with a designed calendar? What sort of feedback are you receiving?
It's good, it's healthy. Some of the feedback is quite similar. So there are leagues who'll say, at the moment, we don't want to play in those months, or we don't feel we can do this in those months. But then we say, well, as I said earlier, okay, what can we do? Is there anything we can do? So I know, and even before this, in Longford as an example, over a three-year period from working very collaboratively with the Children's League there, we would have trebled the amount of matches that kids got to play. That involved a lot of blitzes, a bit of flexible thinking. Travel times were relatively high for certain teams. So we did things a little bit differently. So things like that are happening and will happen. You mentioned it earlier. This part of the debate is getting the most airtime. There are positive things happening concurrently. We just don't maybe have as much conversations about those at the moment.
All right. I think there's a lot in that. I mean, we should say, in terms of like our feedback from people around the country, while the aligned calendar is definitely, as you say there, the big thing that people are talking about, Noel Kennedy, for example, who's a Sligo Leitrim League Junior Adults from under 17 to under 19 secretary, He's been in that role for, or at least working with Sligo Leitrim from Junior League for 43 years. He does say that the brilliant ideas exist in the pathway, but the clubs want the right to choose. So that does seem to be the sticking point. And I know it's going to be a busy few months for you trying to actually get that to happen. I'm not sure if you have anything else, Nathan.
I'm just wondering how I listened to, say, Shane Keegan talking about this, and he would have a very good knowledge of what's happening on the ground, and saying he feels it's just not practical in his area to do this because of some of the things you've outlined around coaches coaching both soccer and GEA, that it would suddenly make it a 12-month year for them, the pressure it's going to put on players. It goes down to such a small level in each individual area. Like, do the FAI have the resources to tackle that? Because obviously it's an organisation that, in terms of resources right now, is struggling. That when the leagues come back asking, how do we do this, you're not in a position to, it feels, throw any money at this.
Yeah, so I think with a lot of what we're asking, Nathan, it doesn't necessarily need huge amounts of new investment. It does require a shift in thinking and maybe a shift in how we organise football. I listened to Shane as well. So I think the league mark is important here as well, because the journey we went on with clubs with club mark, very collaboratively, we had discussions with clubs about what types of supports, frameworks and programmes they wanted from the association. There's 50% of the leagues currently signed up to an optional pilot on league mark. So that will start in the next month. So that's 50% of the 72 grassroots leagues. That will give us an opportunity to talk about, I hope, more than just calendar, but to talk about what supports they feel the FAI can put in place, we can put in place for them, and where their pinch points are. So that'll be a really important exercise. And as I said, to have over 50% of leagues signed up is really, really healthy. For a pilot, we might expect 10 or 20%. So that's hugely positive for us. And it will, as I say, allow us to put on the table things that we might like to see at a league level. But really importantly, and probably more importantly at this point, the leagues to have a direct link to us to also say, this is what we feel we need from the FAI. The process with Club Mark as well, and I would compliment all of our clubs in terms of the journey they've gone on with us. Clubs didn't necessarily understood our financial situation, I would say, but also didn't necessarily want handouts, but wanted supports, structures, advice, frameworks like the club management guide. They have done absolutely brilliant work and have used those frameworks to put themselves in a better position, to the point where 18 months, 2 years ago, clubs would have strongly said to me in this role, clubs who've been on the journey for a few years said, you need to get every club to do this. It sorted our house out. It helped us organise ourselves. So we'd go on the same journey with the leagues over the next 12 to 18 months post-pilot, I would say.
The other final bit on this then is that not only has it overshadowed the player pathways plan, it probably ended up completely overshadowing Mark Canham and his role in recent months. And he's leaving that post. There is going to be a new head of football in Ireland. There is the possibility, and I'm sure the leagues are looking at this, that whoever comes in and replaces Mark Canham will take a different view on the aligned calendar.
I know David, our CEO, has spoken this already, and what I would say is that the plan, when we set out to consult on it and design it, the intent behind the plan would be that it was a plan for the whole game. And that was really, really critical for us. The 12-year vision as well, the idea behind that would be that the plan and the elements of the plan live on in a collaborative fashion. And yes, some of them will involve different parts of the game coming together or doing certain things that may be a challenge. But ultimately, the construct of the plan and how we're going about implementing the plan is more important than any one individual. And that was a really important principle behind designing the plan. So the 11 actions that currently exist would have somebody heading it up from the football leadership team. So somebody with direct responsibility that wouldn't be myself or Mark, but a member of the team. A board sponsor who would have visibility of the discussions. A working group that would involve internal and external members. So it's constructed really well. It's constructed to live on. It's a 12-year vision for the game, the first 3 years of which we've explicitly stated actions. And we're implementing. We're in implementation mode. So that shouldn't change.
All right. Sure. Thanks a million for being so generous with your time. I know it's going to be an interesting couple of months ahead. Very best of luck with the rest of this project and I guess the persuasion that has to happen over the next little while. You've been listening to the Grassroots Director with the FAI, Ger McDermott. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Owen. Thanks, Nathan.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. You can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Like, yeah. No one would be terribly surprised if Andy Farrell picked Robbie Henshaw. Like, oh, he's shit. No, get him out of the team.
That's not what
the commenters are saying.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.